Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nedarim, daf Pei Aleph. We begin five lines down from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf, and that as we said regarding the opening Mishnah of our Perek, that there is a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi, regarding if not bathing is considered an inu nefesh, affliction of the soul that allows the husband or the father to be made for the neder of the woman. Rabbi Yosi held that it's not considered inu nefesh, it's not so basic for a person. To which the Gemara asked, but seemingly washing one's clothing, which would be less than one's body, we see Rabbi Yosi does consider integral to chaya nefesh. And that the Gemara said, yes, as Shmuel said, there's different levels of what's called arvavisa, of filth, and actually the filth of one's clothing is more detrimental and more integral for chaya nefesh, for a person's life, than actually the filth of one's body. So related to this, the Gemara continues and says, Sholchu mitam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, the following three ideas that one should be careful of. Hizaharu ba'arvavisa. One should be careful with, again, like we said, the filth, meaning one should always wash his clothing, one should wash one's body. Also, hizaharu b'chabura. You should be careful regarding a group of people, that you should be learning Torah in a group, because the students sharpen each other, and they sharpen their teacher. And also, hizaharu b'vnei adnim. You should be careful with the sons of the poor, and that is, you should be diligent to teach them Torah. And the reason actually is because Shemehen Tetzit Torah. Because where is Torah going to come from? It's going to be coming from the sons of the poor. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Yizal Mayim Midalyav. The water flows from its wells, which the words Dalyav also can be read, Dalyav, those that are poor, meaning Shemehen Tetzit Torah, because Mayim is always a reference to Torah, and therefore it's actually that Torah flows from the poor. And the reason for that is, A, because they have nothing else to do. They're not busy with business. They have no money. And moreover, because they're very humble, because the poor don't get that much of a showing. And therefore, humility always breeds the understanding of Torah. So for those two reasons, Torah comes from the poor. Now the Gemara asks, why is it that the majority of it is that the children, the sons of Talmudic scholars, don't end up becoming Talmudic scholars themselves? So the Gemara actually brings five reasons why the children of Talmid HaChacham are not Talmid HaChacham themselves. So Amar Yisrael, he says, Shlayimru Torah Yerusha Lehilahem. Hashem wanted it like that, so that people shouldn't say that the Torah is an inheritance from a father to a son. So therefore no one's going to be learning Torah. Not the sons of Talmid HaChacham, because they're relying that it's inheritance for them. And neither other people, because they say it's inheritance. It's something that you just inherit. You can't go ahead and attain that, which is not true in Torah. And therefore, it doesn't go through inheritance. The sons of Talmid HaChacham, majority are not Talmid HaChacham themselves. Second interpretation, Rav Sheshes Bar Dav Idiyamer, he says the reason is Kedesh Leizgadru Ala Tzibra, that they shouldn't lord over the people, and that is because if Torah would never remove itself from a certain family, they would be Bali Gaiva. They would think we're the greatest thing that came to mankind, because look, me, my son, everyone is old Talmid HaChachamim. And because of that they shouldn't be taking control over everybody else, it doesn't work through inheritance. Mazutra, he says a third interpretation. It says, Mipnei Shehin Mizgabrin Al Tzibur. It's actually a penalty. Because Talmid HaChachamim overpower the Tzibur because of their great Torah wisdom, so because of that, they don't have their own children, Talmid HaChachamim. Rav Asher, he says a fourth interpretation. He says, Mishum Dukari Le'inshi Chamari, because they call people donkeys. Because they look down at other people, because they're not on the same level as Talmid HaChacham. For that, their own children are not Talmid HaChacham. Rabbi Noimer, he says a fifth interpretation, She'in Mevarchin Batarit Chila. The reason why they don't merit to have children Talmid HaChacham is because in the beginning of their day, when they start toiling in Torah, they don't make a bracha on the Torah, which are the three brachas we make of Lasik B'Divrei Torah, Bahar of Noah, and Asher Bachar Bono. Dam Rav Yehuda Merav, like Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. What does this mean, the pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Miho ish hachacham v'yavanezais? Who is the person that's wise and understands this? As the pasuk continues, and v'asher diber pi Hashem elav yagidin, that has the word of Hashem in his mouth and could tell us the secret, which is, as the Gemara explains, davar zeh nishol hachachamim ul neviim v'le pirshu. This question was asked to the wise men, which it says chacham, and to the prophets, and to the angels, and no one was able to define it, because it says, Ashadibir Pi Hashem Elav. No one knew the answer for the demise of the Jewish people. Asher Pirsha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave the interpretation, which is the same thing for what we're saying, why the Talmid HaChacham don't have Talmid HaChacham their own sons. Tachsib, like it says in the next pasuk, it says, "Vayomer Hashem," and Hashem said, "Al azum es teirasi v'gomer," because they have left my Torah. Now, from the fact that it says "Vayomer Hashem al azum es teirasi," because they have left my Torah, is obviously that no one knew what to answer because it was asked from the wise men, from the prophets, from everybody, until HaKadosh Baruch himself came along and said, the reason is because al azum es teirasi. Now, it says over there that v'leishamu b'kayli v'leihochu v'asu. The Gemara asked, "Hainu leishamu b'kayli, hainu leihochu v'asu." What do you mean? Not listening to my voice is the same thing as not following it. I mean, they didn't follow the dictates of the Torah. So what is the redundancy? On that, Amar Yehuda Marav, he explained that what does leihochu v'asu meant? Sh'lo'ein mevarchim b'Torah t'chila. Because they don't bless the Torah in the beginning before they learn, and because of that, they didn't have children that are tamid chacham. Now, on that, the Ram brings from Rabbeinu Yoina that the precise reading of the pasuk indicates this, that it's only because they didn't make a blessing on the Torah before they learned. That's why of the hearts, that's why the land of Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, which is also inherent in this fact that the children themselves were not tamid chacham. Now, the reason being is because if you would translate literally, azam es teirasi, as a little translation, means say because they forsook the Torah, meaning that they didn't learn Torah. Well, then why, when the question was asked, why are they being chased out of Eretz Yisrael to the prophets and to the wise men, why didn't they know the answer? What do you mean? It's pretty obvious. No one's learning Torah. So obviously, that's what Yehuda Merab is saying, that no, everybody was learning Torah. And therefore, the prophets and the wise men were wondering, why is it Maha of the Arts? Why are they losing Eretz Yisrael? Until HaKadosh Baruch himself came to say, who he knows the secrets of people's hearts, that they weren't blessing the learning of Torah before they learned. In other words, Torah was not so significant in their eyes to be able to bless, because they weren't learning Torah Lishma. Maybe that they felt that you have to learn, or maybe there was ulterior motives to learn, but when you really love something, that's what a blessing is. A blessing is appreciating what it is. Just like a person could eat a food and not bless it because, oh, I got to eat this, I got to do this. Same thing with Torah. Maybe you felt you had to. And everybody's learning Torah, so why am I off the arts? Hashem knew that people don't really appreciate it. And therefore, they were disgraceful regarding the brachas of the Torah. That's what it means, lehochoba. In other words, with its appropriate purpose and lishma for the sake of Torah, that they didn't fulfill, and that's why they lost their soul. And that's the same reason, according to the interpretation of Ravina, why their sons are not tamid chacham. Now, returning to what we had mentioned, which started this conversation from the previous daf, the Gemara tells us that Isi bar Yehuda le'osla mesifted Reb Yisi tlasi yami. Isi, the son of Yehuda, didn't come to the yeshiva of Reb Yisi for 3 days. So Ashkeche Vardimas b'Reb Yisi. So Vardimas, who was the son of Reb Yisi, encountered Isi bar Yehuda, and Namalei said to him, "My time alosi mar lebei medrasha da'abohat losin yami. Why didn't you come to my father's yeshiva for the last 3 days?" So Amalei, so Isi told him, "I don't understand your father's teachings," which is a reference back to what we quoted before, that Reb Yisi was quoted in the Braisa, which was brought in to seemingly contradict the halacha, he says in the Mishnah, that one town which has the spring coming out of it, they're laundering their clothing, takes precedence before another city's, their chayi nefesh, their sustenance, to be able to drink the water. So he says, "I don't understand that. So hechasa, how am I going to come to yeshiva and learn from him? I don't understand what he's saying." So Amalei, so Vardima said to him, "Lema mar mai ko amalach. Tell me what he told you. Dilma yadana tami. Maybe I'll know. You're saying there's a certain halacha that he said that you don't understand. Maybe I'll know the reason and you'll see, although you don't understand, it's a lack of your understanding." So Amalei said to him, "Hadatani, it's this that we learned the brisa that we quoted on the previous daf. Rabbi Yisi, he says, Kvisasin koibin l'chai acherim, says the laundering of this city's clothing comes before the livelihood of the next city for using their water for livelihood." Now he says, logically, that doesn't make sense. So therefore my question is, krom and nolan. So if logically it doesn't make sense, but at least what's the pasuk that would prove this point? That's what I don't understand. So Amalei, on that, Vardimas told him, "Dechsev, there's a pasuk by Midbar that illustrates this halacha. Says regarding the Ari Halavim, the Levite cities, which they had specific cities that they had, says, Umigrashehem yulavahemtem ugoimer, that their cities and their surrounding areas should be for their animals, etc., where it says, v'lechushim, for their money, for their estate, v'lechol chayasim, and for all their chayasim." Now, the question is, my chayasim, what does it mean, and their chayasim? The word chaya could have a few different translations. Se'ile mechaya, if it means their wild animals, but v'lechaya b'chal behemahi, we know that the term chaya is already included in the terminology of the larger category called behema, so it already talks about behemta. So, Elamai Chayasim, so what are you going to say Chayasim, their Chaya means? means chiyus mamash, means their life. Well, that's pshita. That's pretty obvious. Of course, there's cities for their life. El alav chvisa. Obviously, it's saying that it's for their laundering of the clothing. That's what the cities are given to them for. And we see it's called chayasam. And the reason is the ha ikar tzara de arba vis, like we explained on the top of this amud from the previous daf. It's because there's pain of all the filth in the clothing. That's called the chiyus of a person. Therefore, you see a source in the Torah that is considered chayi nefesh, and that's why their laundering of the clothing comes first from the water, because the water is there right first, even before the next town's chayi nefesh for their own livelihood. It's because washing clothing is on par with chayi nefesh, as we see from this pasuk. It's calling it chayasim. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion of our Mishnah, where Omer Biyisi, he was on record arguing on the opinion of the Tanakama, who said, how do we define inu nefesh? Tanakama said, if it's regarding her not bathing or regarding her not adorning herself, and that Rabbi Yisi said that, no, in elu nidra inu nefesh, they're not considered of afflictions of the soul of just not bathing or adorning, and therefore the husband would not be able to be mefer. So Yibayilu had the following question. Fine. L'Rabbi Yisi, according to Rabbi Yisi, but ma'u sheyefer mishim dvar mishabeinoy lebeina. You're right. According to Rabbi Yisi, regarding bathing and adorning himself, adorning herself, he does not consider that affliction of the soul. So therefore, he cannot be made for it in the context of inu nefesh. But does it fit into the context of dvarm shebeinoy lebeinah? In other words, although he argues under Rabbanan, maybe he's only arguing regarding the greater liberal rights of inu nefesh type of afara. But beinoy lebeinah not, and now what would be the difference? What do you mean if he holds that you could be made for it because of things that are relational to their relationship? So why would it, what would be the significance of saying that it's not inu nefesh? The reason would be is because, as we explained in the previous daf, there is a halachic difference between what type of neder it is that he could be made for. Because it would come out according to the Rabbanan, they're considered inu nefesh. So then he could be made for it, what's called bein la'atzmei bein la'cher, whether it's for him or whether it's going to affect a different husband that she'll have after he divorces her. But according to Rabbi Yisi, it would only be that if it relates to himself, could he be made for. But Dvar Meshabeinoy Labeina, as we learned on Daf Ayin Tesem Abeis, you could only be made for things that relate to the husband himself, but it wouldn't be for Dvar Meshabeinoy Labeina Labeina Chayim. Therefore, that's the Gemara's question. Is Rabbi Yisi only arguing on it being called Inu Nefesh? But he would agree that it's at least, if she's not bathing or not adorning herself, it's at least things that affect the relationship, and therefore he could be made for it at least la'atzmai or not. So the Gemara says, Tashema, let's bring a Raya from our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yisi said, Ein elu nidra ina nefesh. He said that these are not nedarim that afflict the soul. Now, if it would be true that according to Rabbi Yisi, that even he wouldn't be able to be made for it because they're not even dvar mishabeinoy lebeina, then they should have said a more conclusive statement, something that's more exacting, and they should have said lo yafir. Now, from the fact that he said that ein elu nidra ina nefesh sounds like of a dvar mishabeinoy lebeina havian, but that they are at least things that affect the relationship. Because when you're saying it's not the higher thing, it sounds like, but the lower thing it is. If it wasn't even beinoy lebeinah, he should have said, he can't be made for it, and that would have been the end of the story. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot. Dima lidit hu kamalhu. Maybe his words were reflective of the Rabbanah's opinion that he was arguing on. In other words, he was telling them, lidit, according to me, afel dvarm shebeinoy lebeinah loy havin. Maybe Rabbi Yisi holds that he can't be made for it in any sense, because they're not even something that affects the relationship. Fine, don't bathe or don't adorn yourself. But leditchu, but he was saying, according to you, the Rabbanah, tamritu, that you say, havyin nidra inu nefesh, that you're saying that not bathing and not adorning oneself is considered affliction of the soul. That is what he said, but ideally, the ain ela nidra inu nefesh, at least admit to me that they're not inu nefesh. In other words, yes, I'll agree that maybe you want to say that their dvarim should be nidra inu nefesh, but not nidra inu nefesh. So that would be the inference that he would say, in your opinion, maybe it's beinoy lebeina, but for sure not inu nefesh. But according to me, I wouldn't even say they're beinoy lebeina. So if the Gemara concludes samay, so what's the halacha? There's no raya from the Mishnah. So according to Rabbi Yisi, could a husband be made for if she's not going to bathe or adorn herself regarding beinoy lebeina, which would only be therefore reflective to him and not to others, or not? So it's a machlekes. Rav Adar bar Ava amar mefer. He says that the husband could be mefer because that a husband, which it is beinoy lebeina, it would bother him if his wife's not showering or not putting on makeup. And therefore, although it's not inu nefesh v'har, she doesn't care, but it affects the relationship, so therefore he could be mefer. Whereas Rav Huna amar in mefer, he says that no, the husband cannot be mefer as we continue on Talmud Beis. Why? Why isn't considered something that would affect the relationship? Shalemitzinu shul shemeiz ba'ofer pir. He uses an analogy, a metaphor. It says, because a fox never died in its own foxhole. Now, although a foxhole might be a dangerous area, but the foxhole that he himself digs, so he's always there in that area. So since he's accustomed to that area, he's not tripping. He knows how to get around in his pit. So too, the reference is, this husband, since he would be used to his wife, so we wouldn't be concerned, let's say, if she wouldn't bathe, that let's say her hair would be all tangly, and therefore he could get injured, let's say, when they're intimate, that he can't be mafer, because it's not even going to affect the relationship. Because he's accustomed, he knows his wife, he'll be able to get around it without it affecting him negatively, and therefore, he holds that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not even b'noi l'b'no, and he can't be mafer it at all. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Kav Asei D'Rav Adbar Ava, we have a braisa that seems to support Rav Adbar Ava, that the husband, according to Rabbi Yossi, could be mafer, and it is considered at least b'noi l'b'no, although it's not considered inu nefesh. Why? Because the braisa says as follows. The braisa says, Dvar M'shiyesh ben inu nefesh. And as we explained this in the previous stuff, that there is a difference between the two types in the Dharm that the husband could be mafer. There's inu nefesh, and there's a category of b'noi l'b'no. So on that, the Braisa says, things that are, if a woman takes a neder, that are afflicting of the soul, then mefer, then the husband can be mefer, bein beinoy lebeina, whether it's something that's related to him. For example, let's say she said that, oh, I'm taking a neder, I'm not going to have any produce, any fruits from my husband, or bein beinoy lebeina, whether it's between her and somebody else. Let's say she says, everybody else's fruits are forbidden to me. So that the husband can be mefer, because that's inu nefesh, it's afflicting the soul, it's affecting her. She ain't ben inu nefesh, but if it doesn't have inu nefesh, then that's the second category, that's only beinoy lebeinah mefer. It's only if, therefore now, whatever the nether is affecting their relationship. But beinoy lebeinah chayim inu mefer, but if it would only be affecting a different relationship of hers, and it's not inu nefesh, then it cannot be mefer. So the Braisa explains, Kate said, what's the cases? Amr koin and peiris alai, if she says, I'm taking nether, fruits are forbidden to me. So, harizei offer. Definitely that, he could be mefer, it's at least beinoy lebeinah, he for sure could have be made for such a neder. Now, the Ram points out that now the Braisa talks about things that are not inu nefesh, and the first describes what's beino lebeina cheirim before it discusses beino lebeina, even though when it first mentioned it, it first said beino lebeina first, between him and her. The reason being is because beino lebeina is more complex, because sometimes he is made for, sometimes he doesn't have to be made for, so therefore it first says the simpler case, which is the second case first. So if let's say she says, I'm taking a neder, that I'm not going to do what I make cannot go to my father, or lafi achicha to your brother, or lafi avicha to your father, or lafi achi to my brother's mouth, meaning whatever I'm going to earn, I'm taking a neder, is forbidden to them, or I'm forbidden to them. It's relational, it's not in the nefesh. So or I'm not going to give straw for your animal, or I'm done with this, I'm taking a neder, I'm never giving water in front of your cattle. So the husband cannot be made for such a neder, and the reason being is because A, it's not inu nefesh, her not giving all these people things, or to his animals, it's not afflicting her soul. And moreover, it's not beinoy lebeina, because she's not meshubet him, she's not indebted to him to do all these things, to feed his father, or to give these animals. And because of that, since they're not inu nefesh, and it's not beinoy lebeina, he can't be made for it. Now, but let's say she says, I'm taking a neder, shloi ekhol. I'm not going to put on makeup, which specifically is painting the eyes. Or shloi efkos, or I'm not going to put on rouge, which is makeup for the cheeks or for the lips. Or v'shloi shamash mitase, I'm not going to have marital relations. Then the Tana says, yafer, he could be mefer, and he should be mefer, because it's something that affects the relationship, obviously, her not putting on makeup and not having relations, so therefore he could be mefer. Now, let's say she says, shloi atzilach mitascha, I'm not going to make your bed anymore. Or v'shloi amziglach esakais, I'm not pouring your drinks anymore. Or v'shloi erchetz lacha panecha yadecha bragalecha, I'm not going to wash your hands and your feet and your hands. So such a neder, ein tzarech lahavei, doesn't even have to be mefer. That's what we said, that it depends when it's relational. It depends. Sometimes he could be mefer, which is b'nei l'b'na, and sometimes he doesn't even have to be mefer. Now the reason for this is because, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that no matter how many slave women a woman brings into her marriage, she's obligated to do the previous three things that we mentioned. The reason being is because they bring closeness and intimacy into the relationship. When she makes his bed, when she pours him a cup of a drink to drink, or she washes his hands, his face, and his feet. And therefore, because of that, that she's obligated, what you're meshubed, and they made his shibud strong, that even the kohen doesn't work, that it doesn't have to be mefer. Now, he says that even in those three cases, the husband should be made for her neder. And Shenema, the reason is because, like it says in Pasuk in Bamidbar, lo yachil devare, that a person should not to deconsecrate, to make chulin his words. Now, the interpretation of Rabbi Gamliel is coming from the word devarai. In other words, even if it's something that's not called a neder, rather it's just called a deber, just speech, still the Torah is telling you lo yachil. In other words, that although you're right in this case, the woman is not going to get malchus if she would violate it, and the reason being is because she can't take the neder that she's not going to wash his hands or that she's not going to give him a drink because there's a shibud, there's an obligation that she has to. Still, the pasuk is telling you, although it's not a neder, it's just dibur, but since he could be mefer, so therefore without hafara, it should not be lo yachal. Even if it's just a devaray, lo yachal, you shouldn't. So therefore, Gamliel says, although you're right halachically, she doesn't have to, but the pasuk is saying, although it's not halachically a neder, it's just dibur, which the dibur was, I'm not going to do these things. So if it's possible, therefore, he should be made for it, and it shouldn't be a bechina, a category of lo yachal devari. Davar achar, another interpretation, is that this word devari that Gamliel himself is expounding is actually coming to teach a different halacha, that lo yachal devari, what does it mean that he should not be meichal his own words? Mikan lachacham she'im matan neder atma. From here we learn out that a sage should not permit his own neder, which is learned out from this word of devarai, which is he should not be meichel his own davar, but others could be meichel it for him, could be matter his neder for him, but he shouldn't do it himself. It's from the same word of devarai, from his words. Now that's the braisa, which again makes those divisions between a neder of inu nefesh, which he could always be made for, and things that are not inu nefesh, which only beinoi lebeinoi he could be made for, but not if it affects other people. And moreover, beinoi lebeinoi depends. Sometimes he could, and sometimes he doesn't even have to be made for the neder. Now the Gemara concludes the proof to Rav Ada Bar Ava. Man sheminan do amar, who is it that we know is the opinion that says of this braisa, shloi echel v'shloi efkes, that I'm not going to adorn myself, I'm not going to put on makeup, that it's dvar mishabeinoi lebeinoi havin, that it's only considered things that are related to the relationship. That's Rabbi Yosi. Why? Because according to Rabbanan, as they say in our Mishnah, they consider loyas kashet, not putting on makeup, not adoring oneself, as a ned of inu nefesh. Not just things that are related to the relationship, which is only between him and her, and they wouldn't be able to make for other people. And still, v'ketani, and what is the bride to teach us, which we're proving is Rabbi Yosi, de mei for misham dvar mishabeinoi lebeinoi, that regarding makeup, he could be mefer because although it's not inu nefesh, like Rabbi Yosi is on record in the Mishnah, but it is things that affect the relationship, and therefore that's like Rabbi Ada Bar Ava, who he said that the husband could be mefer at least in regards to being dvarim shebeinoi lebeina. Now, Amamah, the Gemara quotes that in the Braisa we said, if the woman tells her husband, b'shloi shamish mitasi, that if I'm not going to have matter relations, so yafer misham dvarim shebeinoi lebeina. So therefore, although it's not inu nefesh, but he could be made for it because of things that affect the relationship. So, and that's where we prove that according to Rabbi Yosi, who is considering this as things that are dvar mishabeinoi lebeinoi, and you could be made for it. So the Gemara asks, heichidami, what is the case of I'm not going to be mishamish mitasti? Ilem da amr hanos tashmishi olecha, if she says that the pleasure of my relations with you is forbidden on you, so meaning she's taking herself as the object, which the nedus chalon, where now she's a forbidden object to her husband, lamalei hafara. Why would we need hafara? This should be essentially like the other cases of where I'm not going to wash your hands or I'm not going to pour you the cup, like those three cases, because hamishabedisle, she's obligated in tashmish in matter relations to her husband. And as we said regarding those cases, that he doesn't even have to be mefer because we were ma'alim the shibud of the husband, that her kingdom doesn't take effect. So why here did we say that although you could be mefer, which is a chiddush according to Rabbi Yosi, that it's dvar mishabeinoi lebeinoi, but why do you have to? L'chaira, essentially, she can't even make the neder. So El Rav Gemara says, you're right, the case is told by Boimeres Hanos Tashmishcha Olai, where she says that the pleasure of making the neder on you, and regarding the halachas of nedarim, you could do that, I'm making neder, you're forbidden to me, you're a forbidden object for me to have pleasure from having Tashmish with you. Okarav Kahana, like Rav Kahana said. Damrav Kahana, like Rav Kahana said, Hanoas Tashmish Alecha. Let's say one of the partners says that the pleasure of my Tashmish is forbidden on you. Kaifu Misham Shasai. So then we force the other partner to have tashmish because you are meshubah to the other one. You can't go ahead and make yourself forbidden. But anos tashmishcha alai. But if she says that the pleasure of your tashmish is forbidden to me, then yofer. Then he has to be mefer. And the reason is because her neder will take effect. And therefore, if you're not mefer, she's actually going to be forbidden in tashmish. And the reason is she'ein machil nesa adam davar ha'asale, because you can't feed something to somebody that's forbidden to him. Where although there's a shibud, but it doesn't make a difference. We can't go ahead now and force her to do the shibud when it's right. The neder could take effect on her. And for now, the husband's body and her is a forbidden object. And therefore, in such a case, that's not going head-to-head with the shibud. The shibud would only be if she says, I'm forbidden to you. But when she says, you're forbidden to me, it takes effect. And therefore, he would have to be made for the neder in that case. Now, the Gemara asks, based on this, that we spoke about it on this Amid, so the Gemara wants to know, man tana hodetanya. So who's the tana of the following Braisa? The Braisa says, dvarim hamutarim, if things that are essentially permitted according to halacha, but lachim nogu benis, for some reason, there's a minig by those people, their custom is that they consider this forbidden. So that halach is, i'ata rishoy linig bem heter kedei levatna. You can't go ahead now and act lax in that area and show them as if it's permitted to be mavatal them, to have them stop their custom of treating this thing as forbidden. What's the source of this? Mishum shenema, like it says in the pasuk, lo yachal devari, that he should not make his words into chulin, to make it lax. Deva'ach, or another interpretation in this pasuk, is lo yachal devari. What does that mean? Mikam l'tama chacham shei mefer nidri atzmi, like we said in the previous braisa, so that a tama chacham should not be made for his own nidar, because devarai, you shouldn't be mechal, only someone else as a chacham can be made for the neder, but the chacham himself can't be made for his own neder. So the Gemara asks, Mani, who's the tana of this brisa? So the Gemara says, Rebbe Gamliel, it's Rebbe Gamliel, because as we mentioned in the previous brisa, where he interpreted the word devarai, that even something that's not really a neder, it's just like words, like we said, something that the woman is meshubah to her husband, even so, that's how he interpreted lo yachal, even if it's just dibur, it's just words, not a neder. Now, on that, Rebbe Gamliel says, the pasuk is saying that we don't want you to act lax regarding full-fledged nadarm. So therefore, the woman, in that case, although she's meshubah and it doesn't take effect, the husband should be mefer. So that's the same thing in this braisa. Since people treat these things as forbidden, if you're going to treat it as permitted, so then they're going to be lax regarding real forbidden things. So that's essentially included in the same thing of lo yachal devari. That's the same concept that we learned out. Something that is going to maybe create a laxity in something that's really forbidden, that therefore even the thing that's not forbidden, you shouldn't treat it lightly, and therefore you shouldn't be making it like it's heter. So too, like Rebbe Mil said before, regarding the neder of a woman, although it's not a real neder, it's just devare, but be mechal it anyway, because or else she might treat a real, true, full-fledged neder as a dover that's permitted. Now the Gemara wonders, so we defined this previous brisa as a support for Abad Brahava, because we said it's going like Rebbe Yossi, where although he doesn't consider, let's say, not bathing or not showering as inu nefesh, but they are dvarim shebeinai lebeinah. Now one of the things that he considered there was regarding if the woman says, besides not bathing or not putting on makeup, was also if she says that I'm not going to have marital relations. So according to Rebbe Yossi, that's obviously something that's considered dvarim shebeinai lebeinah. Now, that the Gemara asks, "Boi minei ravim rav Nachman, tashmish shamita l'rabbanan." According to the opinion of the Rabbanan, for example, let's say if she says, like how we described it before, where she says that I'm taking a neder, the pleasure of your tashmish is forbidden on me, which this case was not mentioned in the Mishnah. The other cases of not bathing or not putting on makeup, those were mentioned, but the third case of tashmish shamita wasn't mentioned. So the question is, according to the Rabbanan, would it be inu nefeshi? Would it be on par? I mean, just like Rabbi Yossi is considering these three things in the same category, bathing and makeup and tashmish shamita, as not inu nefesh, because he argues on the Tanakam and the Mishnah, but rather as beinoy lebeinah. Would the Rabbanan consider it as the same category of the other two, which they consider in the Mishnah as inu nefesh, and therefore would marital relations, not having marital relations, also be considered as inu nefesh? And therefore, the halacha would be that then the husband that could be made for it, he could be made for it whether it affects him or even to other people. Or would it only be considered something that affects the relationship, and therefore it would he only be able to be made for it regarding himself, but he wouldn't be able to be made for it regarding other people, which that's always the difference we say regarding if it's inu nefesh or only dvarim shebeinoy lebeinah. So, Amalei, So Rav Nachman responded to Rav. He said, Tinisu, it's a Mishnah of Tzadi Ibn Beis. The Mishnah says as follows. If a woman says, V'netula ani mina Yehudim, that I am taken from all the Jewish people, what does that mean? Meaning she's saying that she's forbidding the Tashmish Hamita, the married relations of every Jewish man on herself. So on that, the Mishnah continues as we continue on Daf Pei Beizim and Alf on the top. So what does the husband do? So Yafer Chelka, what he does is he's mafer his portion, meaning from all the Jewish men that she's forbidden to, his portion he does have far for. Umisham Shasa, and therefore he could have Tashmish Hamita with her. But Utehei Netulam and Yehudim, but she's still forbidden to all every other Jewish man. Because she, and that's explained over there, why it works like that, and what was her purpose, and what are we avoiding by doing this. But the point is that his part of that neder he takes away, therefore she's not forbidden to him anymore, because he was made for that, but every other Jewish man she's still forbidden to. Now that the Gemara says, V'i amret neder inu nefesh have, if you would think, that according to the Rabbanan, that a neder of married relations is considered afflicting her soul, why should she still be forbidden to every Jewish man? In other words, if you're saying that's inu nefesh, when the husband's made for a ned of inu nefesh, that works not just for himself. If it's b'noi l'b'noi, I understand. But if you're saying that according to Rabbanan it's considered inu nefesh, it would be his hafar would work not just for himself, but for every Jewish man. So therefore, on that the Gemara says, Shmamin, obviously you could infer from that Mishnah, says, Rav Nachman to Rava, Shmamina Dvarm Shabinoi Labinahavin. Obviously, according to everybody, it's only considered things that affect the relationship, but not having Tashmash Shemit is not considered afflicting the soul. Although the Rabban say not showering is afflicting the soul and not putting on makeup, but Tashmash Shemit is not on that level. It's just going to affect the relationship, and that's where the husband can be made for it. Another Gemara says, no, right. L'Rabbanan Tibayalach, the question is regarding the Rabbanan. That's still a valid question. Why? Because that Mishnah later on Daf Tzadi Mabez, is actually Rabbi Yosi that says that Mishnah. Now, according to Rabbi Yosi, you're right. It's not going to be Inu Nefesh like we learned in this previous Braisa, where Rabbi Yosi says clearly that even the cases that the Chacham say that it is considered Inu Nefesh, regarding bathing and showering and putting on makeup, same thing applies regarding Tashmish Amita. Now, the Amr Rav Huna, now, how do I know that that Mishnah is Rav Yosi? Because Rav Huna says, Akula Pirkin, all the anonymous Mishnahs of this whole Perek, Rav Yosi, the old Rav Yosi. And therefore, since it's Rav Yosi, so therefore you have no right to the Chacham, to the Rabbanan, maybe they actually hold that it is the Inu Nefesh. But that Mishnah on Tzadim Beis is going like Rav Yosi, where, as we brought in the Braisa, yes, he holds as only Dvarm, Shabbeinu Lebeinu, and if she is still forbidden to every other man. Now, Mimai, what's the proof that the Mishnahs of this Perek are all Rav Yosi? The reason is because Kivin Diktani, since we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Omer, as it's brought on the top of when in the Mishnah, when it continues into Amud Beis, so Rabbi Yosi says, Ein Eilu Nidri Inu Nefesh. He argues and he says that no, the cases that the Chacham spoke about of showering and of putting on makeup, they're not considered in the Dharma of Inu Nefesh. Now he himself is then the one who continues in the Mishnah and says, So Eilu Hein Nidri Inu Nefesh, so what are the cases of Inu Nefesh? And he goes on to explain what he considers Inu Nefesh. Now, and the question is, Lama Leisu L'Misna, why does the Mishnah conclude Harei Zayafer, that these are considered Inu Nefesh according to Rabbi Yosi, because they are Inu Nefesh, because they're different types of cases, like when you make all the fruits of the world forbidden on herself, it ends off Divrei Rabbi Yosi. We just said, it says Amr Rabbi Yosi. So why is it repeated Divrei Rabbi Yosi, that these are the words of Rabbi Yosi? And that Shmami no, that's what the inference is, says Rav Huna. That's telling us that from this Mishnah on, of course we knew up until now it was Rabbi Yosi. We're coming to tell you that the entire Perek, when we have anonymous Mishnah, it's going like Rabbi Yosi. And therefore, the question is still valid according to Rabbanan. Maybe they hold that Tashmish Hamita is Inu Nefesh, and therefore maybe the husband would be able to make for the Neder, whether it affects himself or even affects other people. We can't bring a proof from that Mishnah, because that Mishnah and all the Stam Mishnahis of this Perek is going according to Rabbi Yosi.